So if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Galatians chapter 1. I'm preaching a series of sermons called How to Be a Quitter. Because how many knows in the new year we need to quit some things? We need to quit some things that have been hindering us, holding us back from forward progress into the kingdom. Last week I talked about quitting excuses, and man, did that work on me this week. I caught myself a few times and backed up and said, no, I'm not going to fall into that trap of making excuses. It just is what it is. Today we're going to talk about how to quit comparing ourselves with others. How to quit comparing ourselves with others. We all compare ourselves with other people. And sometimes it's not a bad thing in that you see someone and you like the way they go about business, or you're like, man, that guy's in shape. I need to be where he is. I mean, you compare yourself, and comparisons are not always bad. However, they can be very bad and very unhealthy. When we start looking at people and just look at, and then placing them in a certain light and then looking negatively upon our own selves and crushing our sense of well-being and self-esteem, it really becomes a negative thing. So Paul says this in Galatians 1, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." That's about as strongly stated as it can be. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. You can't be a man pleaser and a God pleaser at the same time. So I'm going to give you three pieces of knowledge here, three facts that can help us all dig out of this comparison trap that we find ourselves in. First thing, we need to know that comparisons are unhealthy, and they're even deadly. They're unhealthy, and they can even be deadly. Comparisons can be deadly. We start comparing ourselves to other people, and when we do that, we actually put ourselves in the wrong position. We move that person into the spotlight, and we fall back into the shadows. We're actually using a wrong measuring stick when we do this, when we start comparing ourselves with people. I thought about this week. I preached a revival for a group of churches in South Carolina this week and had the privilege of teaching some of the pastors during the day. But first couple nights, I didn't play guitar. I just preached. The last two nights, I played guitar and sang and had Chris Hardy with me and his cousin Jermaine. So they showed up. We had church. But anyhow, I got those last couple nights and playing guitar, and we just let it all go. And a guy comes up to me, and he says, "Man, I can't play like that. I'm just trying to beat around and do what I can do." I said, "Hey, man, nope, do what you do. You're supposed to do what you do." Amen? And it caused me to think about the time Doyle Dykes came to our church. Now, Doyle Dykes has been to our church actually several times, and he is considered by many to be the greatest fingerstyle acoustic steel string player in the world. And he's a beautiful, born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And I remember it was one of the first times we had Doyle. He came here, and he'll just come out with his guitar and just take over the whole night and just blow your mind. Well, he played one night, and that week I saw someone in our church, and they walked up to me and they said, "Pastor Hans, we thought you could play guitar." And I'm like, "You hear that noise? Yeah, that's my self-esteem hitting the floor right there is what that is." Doyle's got to do what he's got to do. Hans got to do what Hans got to do. Amen? Doesn't mean I can't get better, but sometimes we just get in this trap of comparing ourselves with others. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18, something really amazing happens. If you notice chapter 16, 17 of 1 Samuel, we see the young man David appear. Saul is king of Israel at this time. He was Israel's first king. But he started going from the good side to the dark side. He had this turn. And he started, he started disobeying the Lord. He disobeyed God in one particular battle that cost him his kingdom, really. Well, the next incident that happens in his life is he's on the battlefield facing the Philistines, and the Philistines have this giant that comes out on the battlefield named Goliath. And no one can match this guy. No one will even face him. So little David comes up, probably a teenager at this time, and he says, "Hey, what kind of reward will be given for the guy who beats this guy?" They're like, "Well, you're going to have the king's daughter as your wife, and you'll have no more taxes for the rest of your life." He's like, "Show me the ring." And he goes and he walks up to, actually the Bible says he ran into the battle, takes his sling, and kills this giant. The giant topples over. David jumps up on him, pulls out the giant's sword, cuts his head off. The next chapter, everyone's rejoicing. Saul, the king, all of the armies of Israel, they're shouting, they're rejoicing, they've won, they've defeated the greatest champion of the Philistines. The next chapter, however, we see Saul and David and the armies of Israel coming back to Jerusalem. And in this particular chapter, the young girls come out and line the road, and they start singing this: "Saul has struck down his thousands, but David, his ten thousands. Saul has struck down his thousands, but David, his ten thousands." In the next verse, the Bible says, Saul was very angry, and it displeased him. And Saul said, "You know what? They've ascribed to David ten thousands, and me they've ascribed thousands. I might as well just turn over the keys of the kingdom to him." And then the next verse says, an evil spirit came upon Saul. Notice the connection. Saul became jealous because he compared himself to David. And then after becoming jealous, hear me out, he opened a door to a spirit of jealousy. And you're saying, "Brother Hans, do you believe jealousy can be a spirit?" Absolutely. I know jealousy is an emotion, is a feeling we have, but if we let it set up resonance in our heart, a spirit can come and attach itself to our lives. And then you become hampered, taunted by this evil spirit of jealousy. You know, jealousy has destroyed many a marriage, because one partner or the other just has this insane jealousy that just goes over the top to where they start imagining things. Listen, don't get out of the comparison trap, and don't let jealousy come into your heart, and shut the door on that from the beginning. Can somebody shout amen? So, comparisons can be deadly. Second thing, and there's two other things I'm going to give you. One of them at the end is the ultimate solution. But here's a technique that you can use to stop this comparison thing from the beginning. And that is, realize that compliments destroy comparisons. Compliments destroy comparisons. What do I mean? When someone comes up and they start comparing you to someone else, or you start doing it in your mind, an easy way to stop that process is to back up and actually compliment the other person. You see, pastors, I think, suffer from the comparison trap as much as any profession, because we constantly are bombarded with it. "Well, do you know what First Baptist has been doing all week? They had a VBS that had 400 kids. Do you know what the Assembly of God's been doing all week? Boy, they had revival and church was on fire, man. Do you know what the Methodists have been doing all week?" And we say, "Yeah. Boy, we're terrible." And we can very easily get into that comparison trap. Or maybe let's bring it down to your life. Maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe you have a next door neighbor and they bought a new Lamborghini for Christmas, and a bass fishing boat. I don't know how those two go together, but it's going to for my story. And then their yard looks like something out of Better Homes and Gardens, and they have this souped-up John Deere tractor that cuts it like by GPS or something. And you're over here looking at that, and you're out there, And this comparison thing starts wearing on you, man. You thought, golly. And then your wife comes out and she's like, look at his yard. If you would stop right there and say, man, it's nice, isn't it? He's amazing. I mean, the way he cuts that thing, I wished I had that much talent. That's the way I started doing about churches. Hey, so-and-so had 400 at VBS. Praise God. There's enough lost people in Elizabeth City could fill every church in town. Standing room only. Standing room only. Up, Jesus, those that are preaching the gospel, pack them out, Lord. There's still enough to go around. See, we get into this limited view of the earth realm and that God only has so much to go around. It's like we're living on with a rationing God. That's a poverty mentality. That there's only so much to go around, and if so-and-so has something, then that leaves nothing for me. And we get in this comparison trap. Just start. Just make sure it wasn't me. Just every time you hear that, just where was I? Just make sure you bless others and compliment others. When I came to Elizabeth City, I'd spent the past 9 years, really 10 years if you consider the planning of it. We'd spent the previous 10 years planting a church. And in church planning, it's really easy to get involved in comparing yourself with other people. We lived in a city of over 9 million people, and there's churches, large churches around us, churches that are successful, and here we're struggling, man. And so I would look around thinking, what are these guys? I would even go meet with some of these pastors. What are you doing? And it's good. I mean, we can learn best practices, and we can learn from other people. It's not what I'm talking about. But then sometimes it would get so negative, I'm like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong? There's something must be wrong with me. But when I came to Elizabeth City, I told my wife, I said, I'm not doing that anymore. God bless other ministers and God bless other churches. I'm not comparing myself. I'm not trying to be like them. If somebody has best practices, I want to learn from people like that, and I have friends all over the nation that I talk to along those lines. But God bless my brothers and sisters in Christ around me. I'm not trying to be like them, and I'm not going to. I've felt that come on me a few times, and I have literally in this church stopped and said, "No," talking to myself. No, I'm not going down that road. I'm not going down that road. Why? Because God has created something so amazing at Fountain of Life. That we are so unique that we're just going to be who we are and we're just going to do what God has told us to do. Because it's a vision is specific to every house. And God has given a specific vision to us that no one else has, quite like we do. So we're going to try our best to obey that vision. Somebody shout amen. So just compliment. Just compliment. We get on social media. And here you can easily fall into this comparison trap because you start scrolling through hundreds of pictures of people's lives that look perfect. Wow, they're in Maui. Wow, she lost 50 pounds. Are you kidding me? Well, I'm going to go eat some pizza. First of all, their lives aren't perfect. Those pictures are edited. Believe me, I had 2 teenage girls. They taught me a lot, man. You can take wrinkles out, fat rolls out, gray hair out. You can do a lot. So don't trust what you see on social media. Don't compare yourself with that stuff. God, give them a compliment. Woo, you go, girl. Now, I'm going to be my own self. Somebody shout amen. And this is the big thing I want you to hear today. If nothing else, hear this. God's opinion is the best one. God's opinion of us is the one that really counts. I'm not trying to win men's favor, Paul said. I'm trying to win God's favor. He said, I'm not trying to please men. I'm trying to please God. And when all this is done, said and done, and we get to heaven, What really matters is what God thinks of us and how we stand before Him. That's the ultimate test of did we lead a successful life or not. So now back to Paul. He says in the first chapter of Galatians, "For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." What was happening here? If you read the book of Acts, you'll see where Paul went to an area of churches called Galatia in Asia Minor. And there he helped establish churches that he wrote back to in the letter to the Galatians. And he's writing back to them because he's hurt there's a problem with them. And the problem was this: they had accepted Christ and they had been saved by faith, by grace alone. But yet another group of Jewish teachers had come in who were Christians also. And they had come in and they were telling these new converts, listen, you're not doing it right. Yes, you believe in Jesus, but you're leaving out a whole bunch of stuff. You're basically supposed to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. Now that you're a Christian, it doesn't matter if you're Gentile or not. You need to obey the dietary laws of the Jews. You need to eat what they eat. You need to obey the festival days of the Jews. You need to honor the Sabbaths and honor the Pentecost and honor the Passover and all those festivals. And all the males need to be circumcised. This you need to become Jewish. And so Paul writes them back and rebukes that teaching. He rebukes that teaching. But can you imagine what they were saying about Paul when they showed up? The great New Testament scholar James Dunn said this. He said, "We can easily imagine the charges of these people against Paul. He dresses it up for them in fancy language and ignores the hard demands. He makes it easy for them by leaving out the little bits they don't like." In fact, they thought Paul was trying to persuade God to lessen the demands of the gospel. And Paul came to them and he said, "Listen, I'm not trying to please any man. And if any man comes to you preaching any other gospel than the gospel I've preached, it's not right." And then he gives a little autobiography of himself. He says, "Because I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, I kept the law. I was a Jew to the nth degree. Matter of fact, I was such a Jew, I was so zealous for the Jewish commandments that I was persecuting Christians and going out and arresting them. And then one day on my way to arrest them, I'm on my horse and the Lord Jesus appears to me. And a light so bright that it blinded me and knocked me off my horse. I got up and I went where, and I did what he told me to do. And a man named Ananias came and he prayed for me and scales fell from my eyes and I was baptized and filled with the Spirit," he says in Corinthians. And then he said, "I went to the desert for 3 years. And I went to the desert, and out in the desert, God reworked my faith. He showed me Christ all throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. And now I'm coming to you," and I went up to the so-called apostles, he says in Galatians, "and I told them my story, and they approved what I'm saying. So don't let anyone come in and tell you anything differently." In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, he said, "Who's bewitched you that you should believe something different than what I told you? If you've begun in the Spirit, then continue in the Spirit." Can somebody say amen? Why am I saying all this? Because he comes down and he says, "Therefore, I'm not comparing myself with anyone else. And guess what? I'm not trying to win their favor. I know who I am in Christ." Man, if we could just get to that point. Listen, surrendering who we are to Christ gives us the confidence to know who we are in Christ. When we surrender it all to Him, it gives us the confidence to know who we are in Him. And church, if we could just know who we are in Him, it would solve this comparison garbage. Amen? Let me give you some tidbits. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "We are His children." Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 said, "We've been adopted into His family as sons." Romans 15:7 says, "We've been accepted by Christ." 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, we're in one spirit with Christ. Romans 6:6 says, our old self was crucified with Christ, and now we are no longer slaves to sin. Genesis 1:27 says, we were created in the very image of God. In fact, there's some Jewish midrash, which is commentary on Torah and Talmud among the Jewish rabbis, that says this, that when a human being walks down the street, there's a company of angels who goes before him and shouts, make way for the image of God. No matter if they're a homeless person or if they're the wealthiest person in town, they're still created in the very image of God. That's who you are. Not only that, Jeremiah 1:5 says, you knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now I've been made part of the body of Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, I am a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that I would have been brought out of the darkness so that I might proclaim His name. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. You are too unique. You are too gifted. You are too special in the eyes of God to belittle yourself by comparing yourself to someone else. Amen. Come on, hold out your hand. I mean, just get serious. And now hold it out with attitude. And say, devil, can't touch this. I pulled y'all right into that. I love it, man. Come on, it sounded so good. Do the other hand with attitude. Devil, you can't touch this. God's created so much here. Hallelujah. You would like to touch us. You're trying to take us out. You're trying to take babies out of the womb. You're trying to destroy the image of God. You ain't going to do it, honey. God's created us, and He's put too much in us, and He can't touch. He would love to touch the image of God in us. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Look at your neighbor and say, can't touch this. When we imitate people and compare, when we get into this, I want to be like somebody, often we start acting like that person. And what's unfortunate is we almost always pick up the stupidest things. We just can imitate the flesh. The man Jackie and I were ordained under years ago, he used to preach this to his pastor. He said, don't you imitate any other man, because all you're going to pick up is the flesh. Matter of fact, he told a story years ago when he was preaching in a convention, and there was this older minister there. He said he admired so much, and he loved this brother, and he loved to hear him preach. And he said, but he would be preaching, and every now and then he'd go, and then he'd keep on preaching. Well, our friend said, I'm gonna try that. So he said he would preach. He got to preach, and he'd preach, and every now and then he'd go, and then he'd keep on preaching it. And after the service was over, the old man came to him. And he said, son, you did great. I loved it. But can I ask, why did you do this thing? He said, well, I saw you do it. And I thought, if you do it, I need to do it. He said, son, my dentures were falling out, and I was just trying to hold them in. When you try to imitate somebody else, you imitate the stupidest things. Their walk, the way they talk, their little tics. Come on, man. We want to imitate somebody according to the Spirit, right? We want to follow them in spirit. You are unique in yourself. Hallelujah. Come on, you're unique in yourself. God has made you who you are. There isn't another one of you. Hallelujah. Your DNA is peculiar. Your fingerprint's peculiar. Your eye structure's peculiar. The vision on your life is peculiar. The gift mix in your life is peculiar to you. And we're waiting to hear from you. I've got a couple things I can do. A couple things God has gifted me with. And guess what? All the rest of it you guys have. But when we all get together, it's absolutely amazing what God can accomplish when we all get together and recognize our strengths and recognize our weaknesses. I'm going to close with this and we're going to pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul also faced this comparison thing bad in the city of Corinth. I'm talking bad. Because if you study the city of Corinth, it was new money made from freedmen. Freedmen went and built that city, and they were really high on wealth, a person's eloquence, how they could speak, how they looked. And when Paul came to them, they were disappointed. It's amazing. Notice chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. Look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up, not destroying you, I will not be ashamed. Listen, he said, I do not want to appear to be frightening you with my letters, for they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. In other words, you're saying, Paul, we're impressed with your writing. Man, you write some killer stuff. But when you came, we weren't really that impressed. And then when you spoke, we're like, come on. We wanted somebody that's got some show, man. We wanted some flair. That's what we're into. That's why Paul came out and Paul said, you know what? Verse 12, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. They're stupid. When you're comparing yourself with somebody else, you don't understand. You're not understanding what God has made you to be. Hallelujah. And he's put so much in you, we want to hear from you. You got a song to sing. You got a book to write. You got something to create. You have a job to do. You have a business to run. You have a family to raise. You have kids to teach. Come on, you have your neighbor to help. It's you. You got land to work. You got a job to perform. It's you. We want to hear from you. Don't worry about the Joneses next door. Four-car garage and they're still building on. Dun, 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 dun. I was raised on country music. Don't try to keep up. They got to do what they got to do. You got to do what you got to do. Just remember, if you're trying to keep up, they may be like the guy in the commercial who's a dad and he's standing there and he's trying to water his lawn, but water's just oozing out of the hose. And he says, I have a home, I have a mortgage, and I have several cars, and I have kids in college, and I'm up to debt into my eyeballs. So just remember, if you're trying to keep up with somebody else, they may be as miserable as anyone you've ever met. Stand on your feet with me. We're going to pray. We're going to quit comparing. You young guys in here, man, it gets bad when you get in high school, get in junior high. Get out of that. Be your own person. Be your own person. Don't worry about what they're going to. My mom always used to say, if they jumped off a cliff, are you going to jump off a cliff? But when you're with the gang, cliff jumping don't seem that bad. Hey, yeah, it's kind of cool, man. And then you come to your senses and think, no, that's stupid. My mom's right. Don't follow the crowd. Don't worry about comparing yourself with somebody else. So Wednesday night, we had a man here named Clay Dyer. And Clay Dyer was born without any arms and legs. He has a kind of part of an arm. And he said when he was young, he asked his mom and dad, he said, why did God create me like this? And if anyone in this room has an opportunity to complain, he does. And he said his mom and dad looked at him and said, well, all we know is God makes no mistakes. So he said he realized he wasn't a mistake. So he played football and got married and is a professional bass fisherman. No hands, but how many of you guys would like to be a professional bass fisherman? Wouldn't that be pretty cool? If he would have compared himself, he would have never done anything. Stop doing it. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We bless you today. God, I just pray for every person in here that you encourage them, Lord. God, I know some of them have really been battling this jealousy, this comparison. God, I pray right now you break it off their lives. Let them go free in the name of, let them go free in the name of Jesus. Let them go free right now. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, those who've not come to you because they've been too caught up looking left and right and left and right behind them, trying to figure out how they fit and who, what crowd they're with and what they look. God, I pray all of that melts away today, and I pray they see you. I pray they see you. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if there's anyone in this building this morning who's never given your life to Christ, or you have in the past and maybe you've grown cold on that commitment and you want to renew that commitment today, we want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right where you stand. And all I need you to do is just have a little faith, a little unction, to just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Maybe there's some others. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Come on, we're going to pray. It's going to be power. We're going to pray right now, and God's going to do something. How many of you, before we pray, could say, Pastor, you preached to me today. My word, you preached to me. I want rid of this jealousy, this comparison stuff. I want it out of my life. I want to be free. Come on, come on, let's all pray together. Let's all agree. Let's all pray together. Come on, Father, in Jesus' name, cleanse me of all sin. Forgive us, Lord, of all of our failings. Jesus, I know that you came to save men from sin. And I'm in that position today, and I ask you for forgiveness. Come into my heart and be the Lord and be the Savior of my life. Forgive me for comparing myself in unhealthy ways to others. Set me free from that right now. Thank you that I am wonderfully and fearfully made. And I declare I'm clean and I'm free of this right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted Him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask Him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask Him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.